Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Oh, how good is that? Sure. So good to look back at a year of where we were just so generous and just so God-honoring as people. And here's to a new year. So happy new year, everyone. Both here in the building and online, good morning. It's so good to be together in the house today, you know, and even if you're watching online, it's just so good that we get together together once again. You know, if you had to look back a year ago, we were all online and we were all like scared of whichever variant it was last. I don't know. we could lose track after a while. But it's so good right now to be back here in the building and to have this new year starting a lot differently than what last year did. And I think that's really a sense of optimism, a sense of hope already going into this new year. So it really is great. And with that, despite how your 2021 went, we really do pray and trust that this new year is a great one for you, a great one for your family, great one for all the endeavors that you try to do and try to accomplish this year. So let's pray into that right now. And let's begin the service and pray into the amazing things that God can do in our lives and through our hearts. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you're able to do in our lives and in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that as we start this brand new year, that you are able to do an incredible work, a deep work in each and every one of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that despite how last year went and despite how this year may have started, everything that we do and embark on going into this new year may be something that is God-honoring, maybe things that just see you just shine your light so powerfully in and through our lives. So we pray for that, we trust in that, and we pray, God, that you may just be with us all the way through. And as we share your word and as we dive into your word this morning, we pray, Lord, that you may just speak to us. Be loud in our hearts. Be loud in our lives. And may your Holy Spirit just allow your word to come alive in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, last week, Debbie kicked us off in the new year with a very powerful message on Thrive Online. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I encourage you to head over online on how it is that we can level up going into this new year, which is really an apt thing to start the year with. So thanks, Des. And right now in Edenvale, Colleen is just about to preach there. So our Edenvale family are in for a great time. And right now here in Boksburg today, it is my privilege to share God's word with us and really do trust and believe that God can speak powerfully and deeply into our lives. And with that, I'd like to thank Pastor Brian and Pastor Candace in their absence for the privilege of being able to do so. They are currently away on a well-deserved break and will be back with us next week. But today, I'm going to share a word with you and with all of us, really, on something that has had Amy and I buzzing and full of optimism since God dropped it into our spirits towards the end of last year. You know, we were on a hike towards the end of last year in December, and God just spoke to us with this thought, both of us at the same time, at the same place. It was like anything short of like heaven opening, like, oh, it was like that, you know. And so we were walking on this hiking trail, and while we were walking on this trail, like, whenever we're hiking, really, or just walking on a hiking, we don't really hike like a Bear Grylls type, just like walk on a normal level plain hiking trail. But when you're on this hiking trail, like we are, and whenever we are on one, like our thoughts range, and what we speak about ranges from like very serious and deep stuff, you know, like what kind of parents we hope to be one day, or what kind of impact we hope to leave in people's lives, to completely random stuff and odd stuff, like if the dodgy wizards from Harry Potter had to drop in front of us right now, what would we do? You know, so really, our conversations just range like completely. So on this particular day, it was somewhere in between, and, you know, and we were just looking at all the like flowers on the ground because it was after those aggressive rains in December. Like we were looking at the like lushness that was happening, looking at the insects we were trying to fight off, and all the birds that are in the sky, and all the things like that. And the whole time, we kept thinking to ourselves, Adam named all of this. You know, scripture tells us that Adam named all of this, you know, and we could, and the whole time we were thinking about this, we were thinking that from the insects that we were trying to fight off on the ground, or all the way to the birds who were flying in the sky, like he named every single one of these. You know, and we see that this is exactly what Scripture tells us in Genesis 2, verses 19 to 20. It says, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals on the fields." So whenever Adam was torn and confused as to what to name an animal, like, this looks like a lion, but I'm going to name it a Vion. I don't know. Whenever he was looking at an animal, considering what to name it, you know, he may have turned to God every now and then and thought, would that be a good name for it? And God would just take a step back and he would say, "No, no, I created it, but you name it. I created it, but you name it." And that's when the thought hit us like a bolt of lightning at the same time. That how many times does God do that in each and every one of our lives? How many times does God create stuff and then bless us with the opportunity of naming it? How many times does God create within us our marriages, our friendships, our opportunities, our jobs, our careers? How often does God create stuff and then bring them to us and then he says to us, "You name it. You name it. You name that marriage as good or bad. You name that job as miserable or a blessing. You name that loss as a terrible experience or an opportunity to draw closer to God. You name that child as a delinquent or a young life that God is molding and shaping. You name it." Again, Genesis 2 verses 19 to 20 tells us that God had formed the animals. God had created the animals. And then he brought them over to Adam to see what he would name them. And whatever name he gave each creature, that was its name. Not what God gave the name, but whatever he gave the name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. So God is always, what we see from the scripture, God is always creating stuff. He's always forming stuff. And he's always bringing stuff towards us. And he's always doing that. And as we look back at the year that we've just had, and as we look back over the last 2 years, and it's been a bit crazy, and as we look forward into the year that we're about to go into, he is always forming stuff, and he's always creating stuff, and he's always bringing stuff to us. And then he says to us, "You name it. You name it. 2022, you name it. The opportunities that you'll form in you, you name it. The new relationships and friendships that you'll create for you, you name it. The new grade or varsity year that you're stepping into, you name it. That relationship that needs reconciliation and forgiveness, you name it. Anything that he's going to do and going to form and going to create throughout this year, he brings before you and he says to you and he says to me, you name it." So can we go into this year being ready to name a few things in our lives? Again, God is got no shortage of stuff that he wants to create in our lives. He's full of stuff that he wants to form and create in our lives. And he's even got a lot of stuff that he wants to just bring before us. But the responsibility is up to you and it's up to me to actually take each of the things that God has brought before us, like what Adam did, and then go forward to actually name it. To name it as good, to name it as a blessing, to name it as an opportunity, a promise, a longing for or a moment of favor, to actually name it. And it's simply up to us to name it as whatever it is that we choose to name it. I just love what John MacArthur says about this passage in Genesis. He writes, "Naming is an act of discerning something about a creature so as to appropriately identify it, and also an act of leadership or authority over that which was named." That means that whenever we name something, what's actually happening is that we are actually taking leadership and taking authority over that which we have named. And that's why it's so important to always look at the things that God has brought and formed into our lives and to actually name them. You know, we see this all throughout Scripture. You know, we see in Genesis 13 that Numbers 13, that we see that Moses had asked 12 spies to go to check out the promised land that God had given them. You know, it's important for us to realize is that God had already created and he had already formed that promised land. And now he was bringing it to them and it was up to them to name it. Now, what happens next in the story that we know of is that we see this horrendous naming that begins to happen from the 12 spies. You know, out of the 12 spies, all of them go into the promised land. 10 of them come back and they were like, yo, Moses, bro. No, this is not us, eh? Yes, like it. These other guys, like, they're so much bigger than us. Like, Moses, like, how big? We're like grasshoppers. Like, oh, jeez, that's big. You know, and they're going to say that, no, these guys will destroy us. These guys are everything that's about in this land is just like, it's not for us. Like, we can't do this. You know, they were naming the situation badly. And because they named it badly, they never really stepped into that promised land. And we see, as we fast forward again Matthew chapter 16, we see that a completely different scenario of what happens in the naming process, because Jesus was now speaking to his 12 disciples, and he was asking them, who do people say I am? In other words, what if people named me the one who God has brought to them? And with that, he quickly turned a question over and he said to them, who do you say I am? Who do you name me to be? And at that, Peter, one of the disciples, didn't skip a beat because he had already named Jesus. And he said to him, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And at that appropriate naming, at that great naming, Jesus went on to bless Peter and went on to bless the future church. Why? Because he was named well. So from these examples in scripture, we see the terrible results that happen from horrendous naming, and we see the blessed results that happen from great naming. So whenever we name things, we see that the same is true in our lives. We could either have the blessed results from great naming or really not so great results from poor naming. So it's always important for us to go into our lives naming things well. Now, of course, we can't possibly spend the next few minutes thinking to ourselves and speaking about all the things that God is going to, or how it is we're going to name all the things that God is going to bring in our lives. We can't possibly know all the things that God is going to bring in our lives. You know, it's like January 2020, 2020. Rewind the clock, no. We can't possibly name all the things that God is going to do in our lives because we don't know what they are. Forget that not being Christian, it's just weird. But what we can do is just look at the things that have already been brought to our lives, the things that God has already created, already formed, already brought right in front of our lives, and begin to name those things well. Because when we are able to name those things well, what we're able to do is go on forward naming everything else well, because we're already in the rhythm and in the process of doing that. So what has God already created, formed, and brought into your life? Now, the usual and obvious should come to mind. No, your family, your marriage, your kids, your boyfriend or girlfriend, your job, your school, your varsity, the degree or diploma that you're studying, your colleagues, your church. Yay. Those are all the obvious things that God has brought into our lives. But then there are the not so obvious things, like your unique ability to be kind and generous to others, your optimistic spirit, your smile, your love for people or for this country, your God-given gift of hospitality or leadership or faith, your ability to rally people around a cause. Maybe it's your academic brain. Maybe it's your sporty athleticism. Either way, we have all got lots of stuff in our lives that God has already formed, created, and brought before us. You know, we've already got all of these things, whether they're obvious or not so obvious, that God has already brought to us. So now it is up to us to be able to take those things and to look at them just as Adam did with the animals and be able to name them well. Because again, it's up to you and it's up to me to name things well. So how do we begin to name well the things that God has already brought to our lives? You know, there are two simple ways that I'd love to just offer us today, two simple suggestions that I think that if we are able to apply these in our lives, we'll be able and be better placed to name things well that God has already brought to our lives. So you ready for them? Cool. Turn to the person next to you and tell them that you're ready for them. Turn to your second choice and tell them that I'm going to name you well. No, I'm kidding, don't say that. That's just weird. Especially if they're your second choice. So let's start with the first one. The first one is name it positively. Name it positively. Now, naming a situation or a relationship positively isn't just cheap motivational talk. No, we're not here for that. But it's all about choosing the right filter. It's choosing to see life through the filter of the risen Jesus. Because when you begin to see things from the perspective of the risen Jesus, everything looks different and everything changes. Your countenance changes. Your perspective is different. And your approach is not the same because you see Jesus in a different light. And we learn this in scripture from a guy named Thomas, who was another one of Jesus' 12 disciples. You know, he had to learn how to do this. He had to learn how to see things in the perspective of the risen Jesus. Because for him, he walked into the resurrection Sunday, and he walked into the time after Jesus had been resurrected, not really having the same posture, not really having the same hope as everyone else had. Now, Jesus, after he had been resurrected, he was doing like these quick fire appearances to people all around. You know, he was like doing quick fire appearances like he was like a movie trailer, you know, like as if he was about to launch his own Netflix special, you know, and he's just like quickly like showing up to everyone, you know. He shows up to the woman at the tomb. He shows up to the few guys on the road to Emmaus. He shows up to 10 of the 12 disciples. And at each of these occasions, Thomas wasn't there. He missed each trailer. He just wasn't there. He wasn't there at all. You know, and he didn't do this on purpose as well. You know, I know some of us would love to miss trailers on purpose because you don't want the movie spoiled. You know, any fellow believers in that? You know, there you go. You know, like we just want to see the two-hour movie. Don't tell me what happens in a two-hour movie in 2.5 minutes. You know, I digress. But anyway, Thomas didn't want to see. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus was being risen. He wasn't there at each of these occasions, which meant that for him, the situation had been exactly as it was on Good Friday. So the name that he had given the situation on Good Friday was the same name that it was now, which was Jesus is dead. We made a stupid life decision in following him. We are about to die next. And I don't think that all the people I left behind at home will welcome me back with open arms. And that's why every time somebody came to him and were like, Thomas, Jesus is back, let's go. He's like, that's a lie. He's like, no, seriously, we've seen him. He's like, until I have touched his hands, I don't believe that he's around. Why? Because I gave it that name, and that's the name that I'm sticking with. That was until Jesus showed up to him personally. And Jesus said to him, touch my scars, touch my wounds. See for yourself that I'm here and I am alive. And at that very moment, Thomas changed the name. At the sight of the risen Jesus, Thomas changed the name completely by saying in John 20, my Lord and my God. And just like that, Thomas changed the name of the situation. Now, the situation itself was no different than what it was a moment ago. Yet at the same time, it was so different because he chose a different name for it. By responding, my Lord and my God, at that very same situation, what he was doing, that he was declaring that there is now a new hope, there is a new future, and there is an eternal purpose for this very situation. Why? Because the risen Jesus is in it. He is there for the long haul. He is right here amongst us. And because of that new filter, everything was different. And church, the same is true for us. Maybe you're stepping into this new year with a few negative names in mind. Negative names that may have been caused from last year, the year before, maybe even from our childhood or from even a decade ago. Maybe you're stepping into this year with a few of those names. And if we were to speak on the deck after the service and you were to tell me the names and the reasons why you gave those names, I'm pretty sure I'll say, and I'm pretty sure I'll be the first to say that you're so right in keeping those names. Those very names, whatever it is justifiable to have. But yet at the same time, can I also be the first to say that if we have a risen Jesus in our midst, If we have a Jesus who is sitting right now at the right-hand side of God the Father, pleading for us, championing us on, who is speaking on our behalf, who has a name above all names, if we have a risen Jesus on our behalf right now, that means that everything is completely different. That changes everything. Why? Because he is risen, because he is here with us, because it means that he fought for us on the cross, he fought for us in the tomb, he fought for us in his resurrection, and he continues to fight for us every single day since. So again, everything changes when we view situations through the filter of the risen Jesus. Most importantly, the names we give situations change when you view them through the filter of the risen Jesus. You know, Eugene Peterson once wrote, when speaking of the power of naming, he said, "Naming is a way of hoping. We name a child after someone or some quality that we hope he or she will become." Naming is a way of hoping. So meaning that whenever we choose to swap any negative name towards a positive name, whenever we choose to do that, what begins to happen is that we actually are allowing our situations to have a hope. We're allowing our hope to be carried in our hearts every single day by carrying that positive name. This isn't, again, cheap motivational talk. It's faith building. So how do we practically name situations positively? How do we go about doing that well? And one way which we can do this well, and one way I'd love to suggest, is to get into the rhythm of actually writing it down, actually writing down the good. So to get into the rhythm of actually taking out a piece of paper, getting a journal, getting a notebook from somewhere, and answering the question, in the light of the risen Jesus, what am I hoping to see in this situation or relationship? In the light of the risen Jesus, in the light of Jesus is not dead in a tomb, but alive and fighting on my behalf today, what am I hoping to see from a situation? If it's your marriage, maybe you're hoping to see health. If it's unforgiveness in a relationship, maybe you're hoping to see restoration. If it's your most dreaded subject at school or varsity, maybe you're hoping to see a passing mark. All of these situations, any situation in our lives which we have potentially given a negative name, let's revisit them and write down, what is it that you're hoping to see from that situation? In the light that Jesus is risen, in the light that Jesus is here and present in that moment. It's a great question to answer us, to ask ourselves, and it's a great question to answer, because forever that name will be front and center of our minds. We won't step into our marriage and think and look at our spouse and think, ugh, not again. But actually we can step into and look at our spouse and say, no, there's health here. You know, despite what you'd be feeling or what tension may be going on, no, health is on the way. You know, and as we keep going along and living our lives that way, we begin to see a new and better way of living. So it's so worth our while to carve out the time each day, each week, to write down the good. What, in the light of the risen Jesus, what am I hoping to see from this situation? And this is the hard work that can't be done in an auditorium full of people, but it's the hard work that gets done in the quiet of your home when you're having your quiet moments with God. So can I encourage us throughout the week? Let's do that. Find a journal, find a piece of paper, find an exam pad, find something, and let's write down the good in our situations. Because when we begin to do that, we'll begin to see that we'll have the heart change that Thomas had when he saw that a situation is worth renaming. Amen? Amen. So the first thing we're going to do is that we are going to name situations positively. And then the second thing we are going to do is name it wisely. Name it wisely. You know, naming a situation wisely, or naming whatever God has created, formed, and brought to us wisely, what this means is that it means us allowing our emotions not to get in the way. Allowing ourselves to divorce ourselves from our emotions, to take a step back and not name something based off our emotions. Now, throughout the whole of last year, some new parents did allow their emotions to get in the way when they were naming their beautiful newborn babies. And meaning that from now until their teenage and adult years, they are babies currently roaming around. You'll probably interact with them someday, who will introduce themselves with these very real names given to very real babies. Names like these, A, B, C, D, E. Or maybe it's pronounced Epsa Beta, I don't know. Alphabet A, or maybe it's Alphabet A. Erica, or maybe it's Erica, who knows? Baby boy, or B-boy, who knows? Again, banana, burger, chaos, or chaos, probably chaos. ESPN, or ISPN. And the most unfortunate one, Gassy. They are very real babies roaming around. These are actual real names that people gave their children. And they're people who will be having to introduce themselves to other people one day in their lives with these names. Why? Because some parent, and for some sneaky reason, I think it's a guy. It's something a guy would do, an unsupervised male. That's like, I can name them anything, anything. Okay, my team just won the championship. ESPN it is. Now, I can see myself naming our child Super Sports if Real Madrid, like, win a major championship before they so you've been warned, James. So these are very real names given to very real children, all because some parent didn't allow their emotions to get in the way of the naming process. Some parents allowed their emotions to get in the way when they were naming something of significant worth and significant value. And you know what? We could do the same things in our lives as well. We can immediately name things based off our knee-jerk reactions. We can say things like, my marriage is a train wreck after one bad argument. We'll never be out of financial debt after one poor purchase. You'll always be an addict after a loved one relapses again. I'm such a failure after one mistake at home, at work, or at school. We can easily give quick emotional names to situations that will probably won't be those names if we took time to actually separate ourselves from the emotions that are attached to that situation. You know, our emotions can hinder us. So the best way to not allow our emotions to hinder us is to stand on the balcony of our emotions. Stand on the balcony of our emotions. What this means is that if you just had to picture yourself being on the balcony of this very auditorium right now, what you'd be doing is that you'll be having a bird's eye view over a situation or over everyone else, and you wouldn't be in like the rustle and bustle of what's happening down here. But actually, if you had to be on the balcony, just as you were on the balcony of your emotions, what it means is that you're not in the middle, in the thick of it when it comes to whatever it is that the tension is, when it comes to whatever it is that can cause irrational behavior. You're standing on the balcony of it, removed from it, and in a better space to give a wiser name than what you would if you're right in the thick of it, right down below. So practically, the best way for us to stand on the balcony of our emotions, and so that we are able to name our situations wisely and not foolishly, is to get into the rhythm of reading God's word and reading about what Christ says about a situation, and then allowing whatever he says about the situation to be the wise name for that situation, for that relationship, for that moment that you're in. Now again, we've got two rhythms that we're going to work with throughout this year. We're going to work with the rhythm of writing down the good, and we're going to work with the rhythm of reading Christ's word to choose wise names. And the reason why we're going to work with rhythms is because we don't need New Year's resolutions this year. Our lives don't need new resolutions. What we need are new rhythms. Because when we carry new rhythms, they can carry us long after a year is done. They can carry us throughout a lifetime. So that's why it's so important for us to get into the rhythm of reading God's word, so that it can help us to stand on the balcony of our emotions. So the idea is to find out what Christ says about the situation and allowing that name to be the name that we speak for that situation. And it's what Colossians 3 verse 16 encourages us to do. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom. So meaning that when Christ's word dwells in you, the natural overflow from that will be wisdom. You know, same as when you switch a light switch. You know, the natural result from that is that the lights come on, unless it's you schedule for load shedding, then the analogy just doesn't work anyway, or nothing works really. But just as when we read Christ's word, the natural overflow from that is wisdom. So it's so important for us to get into that practice. So it means that when we are reading, it means that when we are kind of struggling or suffering after a loss, the word, the name that we could give, the emotional name we could give to that could be like devastated or disappointed or crushed. But if we were to stand on the balcony of our emotions, you'll probably find that what Christ says about that situation is the wiser name. Because what he says in Matthew 5 verse 4 is that those who mourn will be comforted. So the new name you could possibly give, the wiser name that you could possibly give is I will be comforted. And that's a much more encouraging name and a much more wiser name to step in with. And maybe you're struggling to find time to join a life group or to be a part of a community, just as Ames spoke about earlier. Maybe the emotional name is, I haven't got time for that throughout my week. I'm way too busy for that during my week. But if we were to stand on the balcony of our emotions and to think about the wiser name, we'll begin to see of what Jesus says about community, and that when three or more are gathered under his name, there he will be amongst them. Meaning that the wiser name would then become, Christ will always be with me when I am with others. And again, that's just a wiser name to carry and to hold on to. And our lives will always be filled with wiser names whenever we stand on the balcony of our emotions and whenever we allow Christ's words to fill and to infiltrate what we allow every situation to be named. You know, for me personally, I remember a time when I did allow my emotions to get in the way when naming a situation. And this year actually marks the 10-year anniversary of when I allowed my emotions to get in the way. And I remember 10 years ago, roughly this week, of when I looked at the degree that I was studying and I gave it the foolish name of useless, irrelevant, and pointless to my life. And that was the name that I gave it. And because I gave it that foolish name, I very quickly spiraled towards getting to a position where I actually dropped out of studying my final year. And it caused much hurt and pain to my parents and those closest to me when I eventually told them what was happening. And the whole time I had given this negative name to the situation, it really took me the better part of 2 years to actually realize that I shouldn't allow my emotions to name situations, but I actually should allow what Christ says about things to name my situations. And by God's grace, I had the opportunity to do that final year over, and by God's grace, I was able to give it a much wiser name, and it turned out that it actually wasn't useless, pointless, and irrelevant, but it actually has now the wiser name of God-given gift and opportunity. Now, I share this story for two particular reasons. The first is that you may be here today, and you may be thinking to yourself that your emotions have blown it for you. You know, too much has been said and too much has been named, and there's beyond a point of recovery. And if that's you, I want to encourage you in saying that God's grace is bigger than any negative name you may have given a situation. God's grace is bigger than whatever you may have said, whatever you may be named, whatever you may have called. So simply repent to him. Repent to those who you may have hurt or offended, and begin the process of giving it the wiser name. Again, God's grace can extend way into that. And the second reason why I share the story is because maybe you're thinking right now of allowing your emotions to name a situation. Maybe you're thinking, I'm settled, I'm done, la 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 la, it doesn't matter what you say. My emotions have named it, that's what it is. Can I encourage you? Don't give it that name. Don't say that name out loud, in your heart or with your mouth. Don't allow your emotions to get in the way of naming a situation. I can say, looking back 10 years ago of me naming that situation, of the hurt and pain that it caused, I can say that it wasn't worth it then. And I can say for you right now with absolute confidence, it won't be worth it for you as well. So don't allow your emotions to name the situation. Rather, find help. Seek help in God's word. Seek help from anyone that's a wiser person. Seek help from somebody further along in the journey. in whatever way, in whatever situation, rather seek help than allow your emotions to name a situation. Because what we begin to see is that emotional names are regretful names that are waiting to happen. So instead, let's rather choose to be people who name and rename situations wisely. Amen? Amen. You know, as we close right now, I came across a story that I saw quite a while ago, which really struck me about the power of naming. It's a story about a guy who was on his way to Thailand, you know, he was in Thailand and on his way in the street in Thailand. And while he was walking on the street, he came across this tattoo shop. And he looked at the shop and he looked at all the tattoos that they were offering, you know, like the traditional, like, angel wings that, like, form on your back, you know, like the cross. Like, he saw, like, all these cool tattoos. But then he saw one in particular that said, "Born to lose." Born to lose. And he was astonished. He was like, "Nah. Surely no one gets that tattoo. Could we get a tattoo that says born to lose?" So he was just so amazed that he actually walked into the shop. He like changed his like plans completely. And he looked at the shop owner and he said, "Does anyone ever get that name? Does anyone ever get that tattoo? Like, and actually like put it on themselves?" And he says, and the shop owner, he nodded and he said, "Before a tattoo is tattooed in the body, it's tattooed in the mind." And you know, he was so right. Because whenever we begin to give negative names to situations, and whenever we allow those negative names to be what we name situations, we begin to see that we give them an opportunity to come to pass. Because we completely are allowing that filter to be the filter in which we're seeing things through. So we're allowing ourselves to allow those negative names to be what we that drive our lives. So the question has to become, as we draw close to our first physical service of the year, how are you choosing to name your situations in 2022? Those that God has already brought to you and those that He is going to bring to you. In your mind, are they going to be named born to lose, poor, broken, defeated? Or will you commit, or will I commit, to name them positively, to name them wisely, and to see them have much more extraordinary names? Names like blessed, names like favored, names like more than a conqueror, names like I've got more than enough, names like whole, forgiven, victorious, overcomer, free. Because when we begin to give those names, we begin to see that those are the appropriate names, and we begin to see that those are the names that can come to pass in our lives, because those are the names that we're stepping out into authority with. And that's what happens whenever we name situations wisely and we name them positively. And another thing, another privilege that we begin to see of naming that we have and that we're always given is the privilege of naming the invitation that God gives to us to allow Jesus to be our Lord, Savior, and friend. And you may be sitting here today and you may have never acknowledged Jesus as your Lord, Savior, and friend. And maybe you've never known that He is able to do such an extraordinary and incredible work in your life. And if that's you today, this opportunity is especially for you. And I'd love to pray with you and for you right now in a moment. So with all of our eyes closed and all of our heads bowed, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. And that's simply so that you can know who I'm praying for and who I'm praying with. And the reason why this is such an important thing is because you're allowing Jesus to come into your life and into your heart. And when you're doing that, you're allowing Him to be able to help you appropriately name any situation and anything that you're going through in your life. So can I encourage you right now, if that's you, at the count of three, just pop up your hand and allow Jesus to come into your life right now. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I see your hand, man. Thank you, sir, at the back. I see your hand. So awesome. What an incredible decision to make, Jesus. Thank you, sir. I see your hand as well. So great. So amazing. Anyone else? This moment is especially for you. Come, church. Just be the church right now in this moment, and let's stand in prayer with all of those who made a decision to follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into my life. Please forgive me for my sins. And please help me to live for you. I invite you into my life. Please help me to be a Christ follower. Please be with me every day of my life and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a fantastic decision that you have made if you made that decision today. And you know what, church? No, the service doesn't end here, but we're going to have an opportunity right now to commit everything that we want to name positively and wisely into our lives right now to God in a moment of worship. So come, can I encourage us to stand? And can I encourage us to, whatever it is that you want Christ to infiltrate in your life and to name positively and name wisely, let's commit it in prayer, let's commit it in worship, and let's allow this moment to be a time where we give Christ our everything. Come on. Thanks, Steve.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.